So I think, like everyone, last night I was really touched by the Muli. Who was touched by last night's Muli? Who remembers that Muli? I actually have quite a clear memory of that Muli. And tonight Moini Ben is going to revise it in some detail, but I just wanted to touch on really what Baba said about creating vibrations, perhaps I can say feelings, through my attitude that changes the atmosphere. It's something which really I particularly love and feel that this is the specialty of the Brahma Kumaris. Because in my experience, there's so many people who speak much better than us. You know, there's so many of these presenters and they're just incredible, but I don't think anyone can create an atmosphere like Baba's children. And I was remembering once in Melbourne, Daddy Jenki was there. And we had hired the town hall of Melbourne, which is one of those old buildings. And it has a wooden floor. And there was about 2,000 people who came. And you know when chairs are on wooden floors, it makes not very nice noises. The atmosphere was a bit funny because it was full and there was a lot of noise because of the floor. And anyway, some of the musicians in Australia created this beautiful feeling. And halfway through the program, Daddy just stood up and gave drishti for like 15 minutes. And it was pin drop silence. And I can remember, you know, you can just remember that atmosphere. It was just such a powerful atmosphere. And I often feel there's three A's. I call them the three A's, which is awareness, attitude, atmosphere. My feeling is your awareness you create, you remember Baba, the whole sort of soup, your mental soup of your thinking and feeling creates an awareness, a vibration. Then your attitude sends that into the atmosphere. And sometimes or recently I've been thinking it's almost like your mind is like a perfume. And when I remember Baba, the subtle thread of my intellect remembers, connects with Baba. It's almost like I download all of Baba's perfume, the purity, the love, the peace into the sacred space of my mind. And then my attitude is like a perfume that fills the atmosphere. And all of us know, you know, the power of feelings. And even sometimes I think that the mind is like a soup of thoughts and feelings. And I've often imagine if your thoughts had colors. Each time you thought, you sprayed colors into the atmosphere. So everyone can see your thoughts. Everyone can see. So when you have a thought feeling of pure love, it just sprays this such sweet, beautiful colors, just swirl gently into the atmosphere, and everyone is affected by that. Or if you have a negative thought, it's like a big, just comes out, and everyone can see your thinking. Actually, they can't see it, but they feel it. Actually, everyone feels your thinking. And sometimes they think our mind is like a huge billboard out on the road. You know, it's up there for everyone to see. And yet, we often think that my thinking and my feeling is actually private. But the way Baba spoke last night, the Muli which we heard, I really feel this is at the absolute heart of service. It's at the absolute heart of relationship is these feelings which we create and this perfume that fills the atmosphere. And I remember I was reading a Moli a few years ago about purity. And in that, Baba said, children, if you don't have deep happiness in this life, you have found God. You know who you are. You have come home to where you belong. You know your truth. If you're not happy, why? It's a good question. Do you think that's a good question? I do. And you know what Baba said? Purity in relationships. What Baba was really meaning is just the whole relationship thing, which I find that if you ask most Brahmins, what's been perhaps their major issue on the journey? We're talking about the journey and the destination to true purity. It's relationships. It's our relationships in this divine family, or even our relationships in our Lokic family as well. And the way I see it these days, or for a while, is that in all of us, we're old souls. We're the oldest souls sitting in this room, 84 births in our memory track. And so we have the original sanskars, we have the capacity to be completely loving, benevolent, kind, supportive, 100%. That's at one end of the spectrum. But right at the other end of the spectrum, we have the capacity to be so sensitive, so easily hurt, so easily upset, so influenced, even after many years of Brahman life, so influenced by a behavior or an attitude. And to me, all that relationships do is trigger what is already in me. It's like my whole part sits in my memory track. I come in front of somebody, their face, their vibrations, their words, whatever triggers feelings. It will trigger feelings inside me. And this is where, you know, the soul with knowledge and the soul without knowledge part company. The soul with knowledge will look at myself. Wow, why did I react like that? You know, how sometimes you just meet somebody but some strong feeling is triggered. But the soul without knowledge projects back on you, you know, blame, criticism, whatever it may be. I don't know about you, but I think most of us are old Brahmins. We know it intellectually, we teach it to others, and yet how easy is it to project back on others and blame others, even if it's only mentally? How deep is that feeling that we constantly fall back into that pattern? And the way I think is that others are messengers to show me what's still sitting in my memory track. And that's why I feel this family is absolutely essential for our transformation, because they trigger some stuff that's been sitting down there for a long time, and it comes up into my feelings, and you know, things which sometimes, you know, I've my own experience, and I've heard many others say, sometimes, you know, feelings you never even had before Gyan. Who said that experience, that things you never even experienced before Gyan can come up after Gyan? And so it's all sitting in our memory track. And really, what Baba wants, I think, is to see that and transform these feelings. So that ultimately my aim is to have a really, such a perfume that wherever I go, it's almost like people get the feeling of Baba, have an experience of Baba. And this is why I often feel, what is the role of the Brahman family? The Brahman family will make me pure. If I can live in this family and maintain elevated feelings, pure feelings, even though I interact with this whole spectrum of personalities, so completely diverse, and yet I can maintain good relationships, then I know my sanskaras have changed. But along the way, there will be differences. There will be upheavals. Actually, I don't think that's the problem. It's a natural part of life. The problem is when I resort to my old story and I start to resort to my old reactions, my old thinking, you're the problem, your behavior's disturbing me. And it's almost like I step out of truth and I come under falsehood. I remember once even Baba said, the one who follows the path of truth sees the self. The one who follows the path of falsehood sees others, watches others. And I think that, you know, sitting in this family, this divine family, it's an incredible education of self-realization and seeing really who I am. Because sometimes, you know, you're put in front, sometimes someone else. Sometimes you're offered opportunities, sometimes somebody else. Sometimes you're praised, sometimes you're not praised. Is that a nice way of saying it? You're criticized or whatever. But actually, it's good because how do I respond? You know, ultimately this life is to become egoless. And I think living with everyone and observing my feelings and how I respond is just so important. And some years ago, I began to observe my reactions because to me, my reactions to people reveal how far I've moved on this journey to Bab Saman, really. I don't think there's any better indicator of my level of spirituality than how I react to people. And if I still reject people, if someone does something and I reject them, once Daddy Jenki said that is the most tamo pradhana of all sanskaras, to reject another human being. And so if I reject someone, or if I hold a grudge, someone does something and I hold on to it, you know, I'm not going to let it go. If I can't forgive, to me, it's nothing to do with the other person. The other person's an instrument to reveal to me what's sitting in me. That it's revealing I still have tamo pradhana sanskaras. Or if I give someone the silent treatment, you know, I just, you know, the silent treatment where you you just ignore someone, you decide they don't exist because you've taken some offense. To me, it's showing me I still have tamo pradhana sanskaras. It's not really about the other person. They're the messenger. Or even tamo sanskaras. I would say when things happen and I easily get upset, a little thing happens, a little problem, things change at the last minute and I get disturbed. It's showing me that I still have tamo sanskaras. Or I would say mental criticism. Mental criticism that as things happen, you know, I'm quite critical. The way I see things, I'm quite critical. I see defects easily. I get stuck in people's weaknesses. I would say that's a sign I still have tamo sanskaras. Once again, it doesn't matter the behavior of the other. It's actually they're pressing buttons in me and revealing to me what is still sitting inside of me. What are Rajo Sanskaras? Rajo Sanskaras are preferences. I like this behavior, I don't like this behavior. I like you, I prefer you. They're preferences. Sato Sanskaras are really when, in a natural way, I see virtue. I have good wishes and pure feelings for others. I suspend judgment and I offer mercy. I really love that because a part of the body conscious mental framework, judgment, judgment, judgment. In a split second, I make a whole assessment of another person. But I think when really my sanskaras are becoming pure, I see good in other people. I have good wishes. And when they make mistakes or there's more of a merciful feeling. I can remember that when Daddy Prakash, when he died, we were sharing stories. I don't know whether any... Were you there in Pratibha? Was there? We shared story for hours in Dadiji's meeting room down in Shantivan. And I always remember little Mahini. She said, I shared a room with her for how many years was it? Something like 30 years, 35 years. She said, I never heard Daddy putting people down. I never heard Daddy sort of... And if you came to Daddy and said, this one's like this, this one's like that, she'd always gently give a more positive perspective. And I think even there's sato pranam sanskaras, that is really when someone doesn't have much love for me. And all of us have someone in our lives or a few in our lives who whatever I do is never very appropriate for them. But I don't resort to that very human thing of reacting to them in the same way, but I maintain benevolent feelings. You know, and that's why I was thinking it's so appropriate what Baba said last night for this Bab Saman. Baba maintains benevolent feelings for all of us. We are all totally number wise. And yet, no matter who sits in front of Baba, Baba has those elevated feelings. I can remember when we used to have personal meetings. In one night, children would sit in front of Baba. Some of the eight jewels, the daddies would be there. Some of the, 16,108, some of the 900,000. Some children who are going to create upheaval in Baba's yagya. Or are creating upheaval. And yet, Baba's benevolent vision. And it's like, for me, in recent years, I felt, this sort of attitude's essential in the journey to my elevated stage. Unless my attitude becomes clean and my feelings become clean, personally, I find I just got stuck. If you get stuck in someone's defects, stuck in, a problem, and that sort of holds your thinking, and then your thinking emerges feelings on that level, it's like you can't really move forward. And I remember at the end of the season, I think about 3 years ago, Baba said, children, it's essential to see virtue in other people. If you don't, it's like I can really feel my own experience. You feel stuck in a place where you can't really move forward. It's a part of our journey. Not just virtue, but to hold those positive feelings for others. And communication is really feelings. When we often think of communication, what do we think of? We think of words, right? I always remember many years ago, a man came in Australia to speak to, there's a lot of BKs who are actors, and he was talking about communication, and it's very well known that the majority of communication is non-verbal. Some say 80 to 90%. When you connect with another person, the impact is non-verbal. And when you get two messages, one is what what they say, and one is what you hear, sort of one is what they say and you hear something, and the other is what you feel, you always trust your feelings. And so a lot of our communication is really soul to soul. Each soul's emanating their perfume, and actually we read the perfume you get feelings from people. You read that perfume. Some Brahmins wonder why people don't love me, why people don't come close, why there's not those really close relationships. And to me, it's what I hold in my awareness, because it seeps through my attitude. And people will feel it. So in my awareness, if you come in front of me and I'm holding something you said to me or you've done, or there's something about you that I find uncomfortable and I hold it, that vibration is felt by the other. And that's why I think that the more we remember Baba, the more the perfume of my mind is really so clean, so pure. This is the real service. And to me, if there's differences with others, who's had the experience that you try to sort it out verbally, and the more you try to sort it out and meet, it gets worse? Who's had that experience? And you think, oh my goodness, you know, your intent was to improve. It's not always like that. But I think underneath the words are the feelings. And it's when the feelings become clean that it sort of opens a pathway. And there's a lovely man in Australia who I've been friendly with for a long time. He's an amazing character because he, in his 20s, he was studying to be a vet. He got cancer and they gave him two weeks to live, and they actually amputated his leg. And he actually, with diet, meditation, he went into remission. He came here only in March this year. But he meditated, and then he opened a huge institute. I think it was really the first in the world, which was really teaching people with cancer how to work with it with alternative methods. But he was telling me once that he had a dear friend, and they had a falling out many years ago, and his friend wouldn't speak to him. And when he's really got into his spiritual journey, he wanted to resolve that. So when he would ring, and you know today when you ring people, they can see your name on the phone, so they can choose not to speak. So he would never answer. And then he went to a mutual friend and said, can you tell him I want to meet him? And still he wouldn't. And then he said he looked at himself. And what he said he was doing, he was saying to his friend, come on, let's forget the past. Let's clear the feelings. Let's now have harmony. But deep down, he said, he still was thinking, I was right. And he said that was like the block that didn't allow this connection. And he said when he really worked on that and let it go, then he would answer his calls. And you know, that really showed me how subtle are the feelings, how subtle are the thought vibrations that we pick up. And I feel Brahmins especially, we're very in tune with these sort of feelings. Because if you look at the history of Baba's teachings, I think first of all, Baba taught purity in action. And Baba said, children, break the cycle of impurity at the level of action. Don't get angry, don't do this, don't do that. Then more and more, I think, especially when Baba became Avyakta, purity of thought. When you have a negative thought, a waste thought, instantly your peace and happiness goes. But for many years, I think Baba's teaching us about purity of feelings. The second, the millisecond, in fact, the instant I generate a negative feeling, a hurt feeling, a bad feeling, what happens to me, my stage? Instantly it goes down. It's like an instant effect. And I really feel that our study these days is to keep my feelings pure regardless of external environments. So we've been addicted to absorbing external environments into the sacred space of my mind, and then they affect me, and so I put it back onto you or the environment. But now Baba's really saying, children, live in this very tamo world where there's people with all sorts of attitudes, and some of them impure, negative, and yet your study is to keep the sacred space, the perfume in your mind elevated. And rather than absorbing their vibration, let your perfume, your mind, influence them and change their feelings. Is it easy? Absolutely no response. We know it's not so easy because our addiction, it's an absolute addiction of being influenced, affected by others. But, you know, really what I was learning from Baba last night, first to learn how to feel with these feelings and then see the effect, you know, of these feelings that when we create them. Because, you know, there's a huge gap between what I know and how I feel. Often I think as Brahmins, we know the knowledge after 7 days. I gave a course after 3 weeks. I often mention it because it lasted 15 minutes and we never saw the person again. I scared him off completely. It's a long story, I won't tell you. But, you know, like, but how long does it take for the knowledge to come into my feelings? I know I'm a peaceful soul. I believe I'm a peaceful soul. I teach you that you're a peaceful soul. But how long does it take to feel in all parts of life a peaceful soul? It's a lifelong learning, right? It takes a lifetime to maintain that. So this education Baba's giving us is taking truth and massaging it into my feelings so that I can carry those feelings. And, you know, absolutely more and more I feel this is where service happens. I remember once thinking it's knowledge that transforms your intellect. And that's an incredible thing because Baba, God, shares his perception of everything. It's like, and Baba offers us his window to look out at life through how he sees everything. That completely changes the way I assess, I judge everything. But yoga changes my feelings. And sometimes I think it's like, what is yoga? It's plugging into an ocean of divine feelings, pure feelings. Rather than my intellect plugging into the past, plugging into people's behavior, plugging into my weaknesses, all these negative plug-ins, I choose to plug in to Baba, who's the source of these absolutely pure feelings of love, belonging. And when I plug in there, it's like you download into your mind, you create that awareness, and then your attitude starts to propel that and create an atmosphere. So that literally you become like a walking, moving, as Baba says, lighthouse and mighthouse. This is, and sometimes when I think, really, this is what service is, I think ultimately that's what Baba wants us to be. You know, we think a lot, what will I say? And yet Baba really wants through our face, through our eyes, through our vibrations, to carry his feeling. And that's where I think that, you know, really this study is about feelings. And even last night, Baba said one sentence, which he said a few times around that time, 2007. Right is right and wrong is wrong, but don't bring it into your feelings. I think that's one of the greatest wisdoms. In body consciousness, we see bad behavior or something wrong and instantly I generate negative feeling, critical feeling, hurt feeling, some feeling. That's what body consciousness is. In soul consciousness, I still see the bad behavior. I still see everything, but I maintain good feelings. It's that simple. Do you think God can't see our behavior? He sees our behavior. He knows what we're like. He knows our weaknesses, but does he generate bad feelings? I don't think so. And in a way, that's Bap Saman. I live in this world, I see everything, but I'm the master of the vibrations in my sacred space. I make a decision, I'm going to keep the perfume elevated and just keep generating, you know, that quality of perfume. Because why is it that we hear this, Baba says, children, no matter what, keep your feelings clean, and yet we keep generating negative thoughts? I think our sense of justice deceives us. Our sense of justice says, that's not right. What you've done is wrong. So So I justify negative feeling. I feel I'm right. I'm right in generating a critical feeling, a bad feeling, a negative feeling, a hurt feeling, because you've done this, you've said this, you're behaving like this. And yet Baba once clearly said, clearly, they make a mistake, and when you generate or react like that, you are making an equal mistake. And yet under the guise of justice or truth, I feel I'm right and you are wrong. So I feel it's okay what I'm doing. I don't see that my generation of negative feelings is an equal mistake. And I think that if we want service to grow, which we all do, we're all in centers around the world in different places, I would say the single most influential thing would, no matter what happens, keep generating good feelings. That is no greater support to service. If we want unity, you know, some people start to go on, there's not unity here, there's not unity in this place, not realizing that just that attitude is the very thing creating the feelings of disunity. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't know. Maybe. You know, like, I don't see that just my perception that this is not right and then having feelings associated, I'm actually making it worse. The way we help is to create the perfume that create, that's really my contribution. The trap is when my just, you know, my sense of justice kicks in. This is wrong, so I have to generate some negative or bad feeling or whatever it may be. And one of the things which I've thought about a bit over the last few years, because we had an NCCC, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and Daddy Jenki came in to, and she was giving one of her evening classes, and she said, the seed of all obstacles is jealousy. And I remember thinking, oh, really, Daddy, the seed of all obstacles? I began to think about it, and I think that jealousy colors such feelings that are a huge influence in my relationships. And I would say of all the vices, the one that we as BKs least recognize in ourselves is jealousy, when we're under the influence of jealousy. And I can remember once Daddy Prakashmani, when she went on her first world tour, this is 1977, she was in Melbourne where I had just arrived there. And I can still remember Daddy giving a class about the Ramayana. And Daddy said that the Ramayana is about two vices, imagination and jealousy. And she said, these are the vices of Brahmins, I can remember. Sometimes imagination, you know, I see a few people talking together and I start to think, maybe they're talking about me, you know, maybe this, may, you know, we imagine things. And then jealousy. And jealousy is an emotion experience in anticipation of losing something I value. Jealousy is an emotion experience in anticipation of losing something I value. I value a loving relationship with you. A third party comes along that threatens that loving connection. And so jealousy creates a whole lot of feelings in my mind that really deceive me. I value a role. I've got a position, a role in this divine family. Someone comes along that's perhaps got specialties, and I, whether real or not, I perceive that they threaten something which is important for me, is valuable for me. So it triggers these feelings of jealousy inside. And I think it's a a vice, if I can say, that just generates such a lot of deception and vibrations which are not a perfume that really does service. How do I know I'm under the influence of jealousy? I would say whenever you hear the praise of someone, whenever you hear someone say, oh, this person's so lovely, they're such a good teacher, and even a slight, the tiniest little, that little thing? That little sort of trigger inside. Why don't they say that about me or something? I think it's showing, some sort of jealousy. And I think down the track, it can lead to suspicion, mistrust. I absolutely am convinced this is the truth. But sometimes I think it's jealousy. And Baba used to talk a lot about it in the early days of the Yajna. Could you imagine 300 people living together for 14 years? What would have happened? The competition. And imagine if we were locked in this room for the next 14 years. Do you think we'd get to know each other quite well? I think we would. And so the process, the heart of body consciousness is comparison. I compare. And I compare with you, and if you seem wiser, more popular, cleverer, whatever it may be, I compare and I feel threatened in some way. And so then maybe that sort of, suspicion, mistrust, whatever, begins to kick in. I think that what I love about Baba's life is that to be as objective as possible, to stand away from myself and try to see how am I responding through my old filter of emotion, and I'm convinced I'm right the way I see things, but actually I'm just acting under the influence of jealousy or something like that. Because to try to see clearly, because ultimately I want to hold these elevated feelings in my mind. That's what an angel is, I would say. And one of my favorite molis that Baba spoke was to all the mothers. Once they had 13,000 mothers meeting in Shantivan. I don't know whether you remember. But I remember it clearly because Baba said, you've just got one job to do, and if you do that, you will become completely pure, Bapsaman, and you will change the whole world. That one job, Baba said, have good wishes and pure feelings for everyone. Baba said, absolutely everyone. And if someone doesn't have good wishes or pure feelings for you, Baba was saying, doesn't matter, you just have it for them. You're like, what's the big deal? It seems like, if someone has a vibration for me, often I say, if you have 100 friends, contacts, service companions, 99 love you and one hates you, who do you think about? You get obsessed with the one who hates you. It's like you're having yoga. You can't let go that thinking about this. And yet, why don't we say, isn't it wonderful? 99 people love me. And yet we get so disturbed by this because it's going to happen along the journey. And I really love that really I think so much of this study today is I am the master of my mind, my consciousness. And when I follow what Baba tells me and I keep it clean and pure, my thoughts and feelings, you feel like you're in a lift going up, and the influence of your attitude on people and the atmosphere is incredibly powerful. It's really incredibly powerful. And in all those molis from about 2000 to 2010, when Baba kept saying, children, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes, pure feelings, pure feelings, pure feelings, Baba kept using the language, no matter what someone is like, your duty is to have good wishes and pure feelings. No matter what someone is like, even if they oppose you, you should have good wishes and pure feelings. Like, Baba sets this incredible standard. And yet, and I think why we love Baba is we know that's the truth. I feel, my observation of myself, that if I fall back into the pattern of bad feeling for somebody, what, how do you feel about yourself? Deep down, you don't feel very happy. It affects your sense of self. Because, you know, the truth actually, ultimately, the truth is to be in that elevated state. So it sort of, it influences how you feel about yourself. What did Baba say last night? If someone has 99 defects and one virtue, what should we look at? You know who's our teacher, don't you, when he says something like that? It's God who's teaching. You come in touch with someone with 99 defects and still you've got to find the virtue. This is, you know we're all on a learning curve. It's a journey to this. But I really do feel that when I get, and I can remember for me thinking that, you know, why is good wishes and pure feelings so important? Actually, it's for me. It's not for my relationships or even service. Because my observation is when you have bad feeling, hurt feeling, you go back to a place in your sanskaras, your old story, your body consciousness, your impurity, and you give it power. It's like you're making effort to become pure, but you keep revisiting your purity and empowering your purity, impurity. And that's why sometimes you think, gosh, I'm a Brahmin for many years. I get up from at Baylor, I study the Muli, but I'm not really moving forward. Because I think each time I get hurt, I get upset, I allow this sort of reactions, I'm reinforcing my body conscious sanskaras. And Baba's wisdom is, okay, children, yes, it's true they behave badly. It's true this happens. It's true. But Baba's saying, generate good wishes. And when you do, you go to your original sanskaras, your pure sanskaras, and you give power back to your purity. It's almost like having a deep realization of the deep programming. Someone behaves badly, I generate negative feeling, bad feeling. Now, someone behaves badly, I've got to think, well, if I do that, I'm just going to go back to my old feelings, old stage. Now I've got to have good feelings. And so I think many times Baba's children hear this, I've done this, and you think, okay, you start to think of those one or two or three special souls in your life that seem to trigger stuff inside you. So you think, okay, I'm going to have good wishes and pure feelings. And you try and you try and you try. But it doesn't really change much. And you say, Baba, I'm trying, but they haven't changed. Nothing's changed. It's just the same. Because I think it's a bit like that story I was telling. On the surface, we're saying, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes. But underneath, I still think, you're a difficult person. You're a real problem. So it's like they're not coming from the right place. And that's why, I mean, Baba's standard is so high. But I really feel that, you know, it does come from really my relationship with myself. And it's like everything, the seed, do I have goodwill for myself? Do I have pure feelings for me? Because if I do, I think that's the beginning of emerging those feelings for others as well. But I really love the idea of living in this world and yet keeping my mind clean. Even you may have heard Daddy Jenki talk about the memory track, the chit. I've always been fascinated when she talks about that. But the way I see it is, she said, Mama used to talk a lot about this, that, you know, you interact with people and you record, you're constantly recording on the hard disk in your mental computer. So when someone comes in front of you, a lot of the images of their behavior, their words, flash up, and then you look at them through that filter. And if it hasn't been so good, they get this subtle vibration from me, not so pure. And then I wonder why I can't really work well with this person. Because I'm sort of looking through a dirty window at them. There's marks on the window, so there's not that cleanliness. And I remember even once Daddy Jenki saying too, that she said, how can I love everyone? Because their external behaviors are sometimes not so sweet. They can be difficult. She said, when you see the intent of others, and really my experience, the intent of all Baba's children is so good. Each one really wants to be a good BK, really wants to become pure. You know, the intent is one thing, but sometimes the sanskaras influence the behavior, and the behavior is not so sweet. But when you see the intent, you can really, you know, learn how to love people. And last night, what did Baba say? I'll finish soon, so we have a little bit of time for questions. Baba said, give blessings and receive blessings. In a way, that's the formula for this life, I think, that really works. It's almost like you live in the family for years and you work out that really, if you want to be happy in this family, there's only one way: to give respect, to give love, and to give blessings. And most of the time, that will come back to you. And I can remember Daddy Prakashmani on a few occasions saying, I'm so careful not to do an action that I lose the blessings from the hearts of others. Because, you know, that energy is like the purest of perfumes. So when you behave well, you give love and respect, love and pure feelings come from the hearts of others. That's a huge power. I've heard Daddy Jenki talk about it too, and Baba, that the blessings from the hearts, you know, that incredible goodwill, those pure feelings are very powerful. They uplift you. And we also know the other way, you know, if someone doesn't have much love there, you know, for whatever, maybe they curse you for some reason. As I was saying, that one person out of 100 can have such an influence sometimes. And yet we also have to learn not to take that on board so much. But I really do think that, you know, we get to a certain point in Brahman life. We may have responsibility in the Brahman family. And yet how to really move forward, I think the purity of attitude is absolutely integral. It's the only thing that ultimately works. And it's not about others changing their attitude. It's about me making the decision that if I really want to be more elevated, I create that awareness in my mind, and then my attitude sprays the atmosphere with that perfume. And really, my sense is this is what will reveal Baba eventually. It's not so much what we say, it'll be the face, the vibrations. Because that perfume is non-judgmental. That perfume gives a sense of belonging to people, which people really want. And I think, you know, when I was in London a few weeks ago, and you may have heard Jenti Ben speak about it, but she met a guy who's, I think was the professor of the environment or something at Cambridge, and then he moved to another university. But he took a year off and studied all the data in the world about climate change, the environment, and has decided that it's too late. It's already far too late. So rather than deal with that, he talks about deep adaptation, and that means that working with people to make them realize we're going to come into absolute chaos. Our society is going to become chaotic. All the institutions we've invested faith in are just going to fall apart. Absolute chaos. And we have to prepare people for absolute chaos. And I think that, you know, my experience sometimes is there's two types of support to give to people. There's emotional support and spiritual support. Actually, both are good. Emotional support is when you sit with people, you talk to them and encourage them and listen to them well, all that stuff, it's good. But, you know, often you talk to them one day and then the next day or the day after, they're back to square one once again, you know. They take a little bit of benefit. Spiritual support is the same thing as attitude, I feel. It's holding the value of others in your attitude. It's like, I think that's what Baba does with us. Baba sees our original beauty. His vision is there. And we may go up and down, we may make mistakes, we may do this, may do that. But Baba, his vision falls on that part of me, the original part, the elevated part. And that's why when we sit in front of Baba, you feel so elevated because his drishti, the feelings, the attitude conveys something so powerful. And that's what Baba wants us to do too. To be so strong, to know my elevated part, keep the vision on that. And when I meet others, keep my vision on their beauty, on their goodness. And just my drishti, people feel elevated. Everyone sitting in this room, I'm sure, has had the experience of coming in touch with some souls that just their company make you feel elevated. Is that true? Who's had that experience, can I ask? I think all of us have. And this, in a way, I think, you know, a lot of us remember the daddies for this reason. And, you know, the 14 years of tapasya that they did. I went to Karachi last year and saw that place. I found it just amazing to be in that house that they, some of them hardly left for 14 years. And they just did this incredible purification. And so the natural awareness, attitude and atmosphere that exudes, they didn't even have to say much. And I even remember Daddy Nirmala Shanta. Once Baba said to her, "You don't have to do anything but just be. And you will uplift others." And it was so true. Her face and her vibrations, Daddy Nirmala Shanta, Baba's Lokic daughter, she was so sweet. And I didn't know, my experience was her vibrations were just really uplifting and transforming. So we have a little bit more time if anyone wants to ask something or make a comment. Ask a question. I don't know whether we have. You can, if you can speak loudly, you can stand up and speak loudly. Or otherwise, if there's a microphone, yes, there's a microphone. So. Yes. She's come right out of the translation booth.
It was not good anyway. Okay. I experience a lot of times that if we want to change or transform our feelings or also our thoughts, that a lot of times what we do is not recognizing them. And I find it very helpful in my work, but also in my life, and also in my spiritual life, to talk about them, not to talk about them, but to show so it's clear. But showing it in a space where there is no judgment. So this is not really a question. But my question is actually how to prevent to not recognize. You know, because that's what I see a lot of times. That's what I feel a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, I think another way of describing body consciousness is self-deception. We've built in so many layers of self-deception over so many years. We just can't see ourselves. And then you know how sometimes we call them blind spots, you know. We just can't see really who I am. And sometimes in my family, in my workplace, people say, you're like this. And I just can't see it. Because I think for whole different reasons, we've become blind to seeing myself. And in a way, I think becoming knowledgeful is to see myself objectively, because in the Lockic world, I think when we say see the self, we often see it very negative. But how can you say you know yourself if you only know your weakness? A yogi knows my beauty, my strength, and is objective. You know, I don't see, the reason why we deny, I think, is because we feel so bad about some chronic weakness that comes back again and again and again. I just don't want to know about it. So I subtly deny it to myself because it's too uncomfortable to really accept it. But, you know, recently I was thinking about our inner world like a tree. And like my thoughts are the leaves, my feelings are the twigs. The branches are like mental and emotional patterns. You know, the trunk is my sense of self. And I think a lot, you know, when thoughts are unpleasant, negative thinking, or even feelings, we work with them. But, you know, if you pluck off a few leaves, 10 more grow. And even if you pluck off a few twigs, feelings, you change a few feelings. But what's the trunk and what's the seed that's actually feeding these feelings and these thoughts at the top? And that's what I love about Baba. The seed is love, God's love. The trunk is my sense of self. And rather than working on the top, battling with this thought, that feeling, I shouldn't. You know that thinking? I shouldn't, I mustn't. That's a sort of very negative approach to change. Baba says, okay, children, rebuild. And when the seed, you really feel God's love, you feel loved, you feel belonging, and you really not just know but start to experience who you are as the soul, then the trunk starts to feed the branches, different mental and emotional patterns, different feelings, different thoughts. So rather than working on the top trying to suppress a thought or a feeling, I go to the back and rebuild my inner world based on truth. It's almost like the seeds of truth start to create a whole different pattern that comes inside. That's what I love about Baba, you know. And it's simple. It's not complicated, but we can make it complicated.
I actually forgot. Thank you. But nevertheless, I think it will come back. And the point is, if I did remember what I wanted to ask and dwelled on it, then I would have lost all the beauty that Brother Charles just shared after the last question. And I think Baba brought that up very, very recently. He says, when you are doing service and you are thinking about the service, the moments that people pass you, the opportunities that you have of passing good wishes and pure feelings and love, well, that's what service is all about, you have lost. So you have lost those precious moments. So the thing that causes that is the feeling of, you know, being embarrassed, or what will they say? Did I do a good job? That should never ever appear or come into our awareness, because we are Baba's children. We know his knowledge. The only thing is, allow Baba to work through us. We think we are doing it. We are going to be embarrassed. If that's the case, then leave it to Baba, but be present. That's very important. Now the question.
I think actually there's a few other people who want. Are you going to ask a question, or she would like?
The question is about the chart. You know, Baba recently spoke about having a chart. Keep your chart. But as this lesson went, the real chart is at each and every moment, the way you feel. Check how you feel. That is the true chart that Baba wants us to keep. Thank you.
Om Shanti. I have a question to Brother Charlie. Sometimes when I am meditating and I have a strong meditation going on, but in between, I'll get a vision or a picture of a very negative picture which I have probably seen before, somewhere a bad picture or a bad thought, something. So why does that come in my meditation when I'm in strong meditation with Baba? Thank you.
You know, I think that it's almost like we have a whole database in our subconscious of the past. And, you know, sometimes for whatever reason, things just trigger that and it comes into my conscious mind. You know, sometimes I think when we dream at night, during the day, it's like the intellect, which is that sort of, you know, that judgment aspect of us, our that assesses, you know, all these things are happening and the information comes on the screen of your mind, and that the intellect's assessing how to respond. The intellect's resting. And so you're just washing through your subconscious, and when you dream, who knows, we all know that, you know, you go to sleep and if you're having some funny experience, your dreams can be like that, that trigger feelings. So it's revealing, in a sense, we have this extraordinary database. To me, that will happen at different times, out of the blue, negative or very not nice images or something. A knowledgeable soul won't overreact. But if we're not so knowledgeable, we overreact. We're enjoying with Baba, and then suddenly, and then I start to feel, label myself, oh, I mustn't be pure because I'm having these horrible things or horrible thoughts. And so we then take my whole, the feelings in my mind change and all that sort of thing. And a knowledgeable soul knows this will happen. Not one soul came to Baba pure. Not one. So all of us have recordings in our subconscious. But I feel the less you react to them, overreact to them. Sometimes I think the five vices every human soul has, except for one, Brahma Baba. Each one of us has the five vices. They will come to all of us. It's the second wave of vice that does the damage, which is, you know, guilt, shame, overreaction, fear, You know, because you have an impure thought or a negative thought, you overreact to yourself. But a knowledgeful soul won't overreact, observes more that, yes, this is in me, this is what I've got to work on. And last night, one of the things really touched me, Baba said, children, you should make intense effort. And I thought, you know, he's just saying, I really feel a time will come. Now we take life pretty easily, you know, Brahmin life, I've been a Brahmin for so many years. I think we'll become aware I've only got a small time to do what I really want to do, to achieve eternally. This will be my attainment in this life. And it really struck me last night that we should put our whole heart into this life now of self-transformation. It's so easy to get distracted or live in my comfort zones. It's so easy. Without even realizing, it's like a subtle fog that takes you over. I'm a Brahmin, I'm there, I'm present, but I'm sort of, you know, it's so easy to get caught in these things. But yeah, I would try not to overreact and understand it. And sometimes, even after many years, things emerge that I never felt were in me. And that's sometimes Brahmins think, okay, I'm going backwards, it's not working. But no, I think one thing is to understand the destination to become Bapsaman. Equally important is to manage the journey. And to manage the journey is to understand that sometimes you're flying, sometimes you go through flat periods, sometimes there's the perception you're going backwards, but you're not really. Something's come in front of you, you have to learn. You know, you have to learn about. And that's where I always feel, never, ever give up. Because sometimes the feeling is that me becoming pure, impossible. You know, like, you know, really, the soul doubts that I can really become a pure soul.
Om Shanti. Hello again, brother. I just want to ask, how come you sound so sure, or how do you know that sensitive or easily hurt souls? Because I consider myself one of those. We are all souls, or we are living our 84th birth.
How am I so sure that...
To say...
We're sensitive.
Sensitive or easily hurt souls are in their last or 84th birth. At least that's what I understood when you started this class.
Do you mean, I'm not quite sure I'm grabbing the question, do you mean that we're more sensitive than others?
No, you said very sensitive souls or easily hurt souls will normally be old souls or in like...
I think, you know, we've had more practice than most people of being hurt. We've done it for a lot longer, but I mean, all souls are sensitive today. You know, I remember a time in the early 1980s when Baba, when I came in Gyan, you know, if you were behaving in a certain way, that it was just a part of the culture, the teacher would say, that behavior is wrong. You're being body conscious. They were straight. And then in the 80s, Baba, you know, because Baba could talk straight. In the 80s, Baba said, correction breaks connection. And I personally, I think it's good if you've got the inner strength to listen to feedback. We all need feedback, otherwise we're in our own imagination about who we are. I think often we have such a false impression of who we are, really. You know, we need feedback, but sometimes I think we're so sensitive, and sensitivity is ego. We don't see it as ego, but it's ego. It's touching a false impression of who I am. Ego is like an attachment to a wrong idea of who I am. I'm attached to a perception of who I am. If someone thinks differently, I get hurt or disturbed. But I really think, you know, there's one brother from Australia who's here at the moment, when he went in front of Baba once, Baba gave him the blessing, gave him drishti and said, you haven't been cursed with a sensitive nature. It's a curse. It's an absolute curse. Because the soul's perception is, this one's hurting me. I'm convinced that it's actually me, ultimately. Now, there's no doubt people behave badly, but, you know, we're so sensitive that we go into environments and then it distorts and then it creates all these thoughts and feelings. And I think a part of becoming pure is, or egoless, if I can say, you become less and less sensitive to little words, little remarks, little situations, you know. I think in Brahman life you have to become a little bit tough. Who would agree? I think you have to. It's okay. You know, you have to become a little bit not too delicate. Not too delicate. Thank you.
Om Shanti, I have a question. When I'm dealing with a difficult situation or...
Dealing with?
A difficult situation. Or
a different situation.
Yeah, or a difficult person. Sometimes it leads to panic attacks. And it takes few minutes to settle down, think calmly and respond. And effect of that lasts for a day or so. Do you have any suggestion to deal such situations? Any suggestions to better handle?
You know, I think probably I'm not a professional counselor or psychologist, whatever. And probably it's good sometimes if it's repeated, because there's good ways of helping. But to me, it's just past birth stuff. Somehow, you know, our past lives are sitting in our memory track, and some situation just triggers something recorded. It was probably a more difficult situation, but it brings back... The problem is you don't have a conscious memory of it. You just feel really uncomfortable, because that's just telling you there's still this unfinished business in my memory track that's disturbing me in the present. You know, one person came, I remember once he did the course, he was from a science background, he told me, I've been depressed for 10 years, and after a year or so of meditation, he said, I just didn't have the same feeling. Once I knew who I was, it somehow removed. Sometimes it's remarkable, but sometimes some things keep coming back. And these days we feel that it's probably helpful if they're not resolved through your own practice to get some professional help. Because they're quite complex things. And we often say, you know, we as BKs, we're not counselors or psychologists. We teach meditation, spirituality, and that's what we should stick to. Otherwise, you know, if we try to counsel people in areas we don't know about, it can get a bit complicated.
Is there any other question? No?
You don't have to get up. Please don't get up. Don't get up. It's okay.
When others are jealous of us for our success and they try to intimidate us or put us in difficulties, how can we win over them? Is there any way that we can win over them?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite grab the beginning.
When others are jealous of us, because of our success and try to put us down, is there any way we can win over them or at least get them not to be jealous? Is there any other way?
I wish there was magic to do that. I feel a lot of conflict actually comes from jealousy. But jealousy is such a thing, I think really, once it sets in, we really doubt the motives of other people. And, you know, that suspicion and mistrust, can the seed of it can be my own stuff. I don't really know. Anyone got any ideas how to get rid of other people's jealousy of you? I don't think. But, you know... Oh, our translator's appearing again.
I think that if we see that someone is jealous of us, that there is the other part which we can do nothing about. That's the part of that person. But the fact that we see jealousy has something to do with us. That's the part we can do something about. So I think that's there is something we can do. Because it's in the relation. So it has to do with the two of us. It's not to do with the other person.
I think that can happen, that's true. I think sometimes it can be one-sided. I do think sometimes, yeah. I do think it can be one-sided. But, you know, it's... Actually, there was... Yusuf wanted to ask something. Yeah.
This is a comment and a question. So, firstly, I think I found the statement that you made about how do you deal with difficult people is to see their intention. It was quite profound because I was brought up with the wisdom teaching of that man judges by action and God judges by intention. I didn't know that I could be like God and to look at the intention. But over the years, I found that seeing the intention helped me to understand the situation and where they're coming from and to let go of things and not be more difficult than what they are. So my question to you is, how do you develop this skill or ability to see intention instead of just the behavior?
You know, I think for me, the virtue we need at this time of deep adaptation, this time where we feel we're on the precipice of chaos in this world, really, you can just feel it, all the things going on, is detachment. Detachment is such a state of objectivity, and often I think, who's the most detached of all? Shiv Baba. He's the most loving too. The more you step back and have objectivity, you know, you can see beyond behaviors and see beyond super, and see, because my experience so many times, you know, you talk to people and it might be a difficult situation, but almost always the intent is so good, but somehow it can come out all messy because of sanskaras and all sorts of things. But I remember Baba said, if you don't become detached now, you'll have to become detached by compulsion. The drama's going to force you. But detachment, Baba's detachment, is to be very loving, caring, close, communicative, but uninfluenced. That is purity. Purity is you live in this world and you maintain, it's like you're under the canopy of God, not absorbing the vibes and the attitudes and the behaviors and all these sorts of things. Because the more, really, I think it's such a sign of an elevated state of consciousness. That really, I would say, the sign of a soul who's really in love with God. Everyone says they love God. Everyone says they love Baba. The real sign is they'll be detached. Because they're so lost in Baba, it's like he pulls you beyond influences. You're pulled beyond. It's then that you have that objectivity to see clearly what's going on and see the intent and not be so influenced by the surface vibrations and feelings and this sort of thing. I've often told the story, once we were in the meditation hall and we were meeting Baba. And Baba was talking to someone and there was a brother who was sick. He had some kidney problem and he had this pang of pain. And he was sitting about where Silverine is, you know, Baba was there, was sitting over. And he screamed loudly, really loudly, like someone had put a knife in his back. So the whole hall went, poof, the whole hall, except for one, Baba. And Baba finished his sentence and slowly looked over and said, "Is he okay?" So he showed love and concern, but he was so uninfluenced. And we all talked about it. Baba was completely beyond the game of drama. And we're so, the more I, the soul, identify with my body, I'm influenced by the drama. And we're so caught up in, you know, all the moods of drama. And it was amazing to see how uninfluenced Baba was. It was just incredible. And I think when you detach, you can really see the pure feelings of another soul, their intent, and you can love them. Mm. I don't know whether, maybe last question, because I think we need to finish soon.
Okay, Om Shanti. I don't know whether this is a relevant question to ask here. Back home, that is the center, which is sort of having a lot of problem. And the problem is we have a center and the head of that center wants to have another one for whatever reason it may be. And we all have that beautiful love of Baba is just being dwindled. Like, you know, we don't know whether to go here or go there or we change our center. What do we do? So, for the last few days, I thought I was getting a lot of answer to this, how to perhaps, you know, the way to deal with it. But now that today, after hearing from you, I thought I'll just ask you what is to be done for that, whether we just go to some other center or continue there, and how do we give that kind of the palna that she's supposed to give us, you're not getting it, how do we get back that? We are not happy to go away from that, yet we have to go. Sometimes we feel, how do we sort of sort out this mess? It's really strange, but sorry, that's why I said. I don't know whether it is irrelevant or what it is, I do not know. Thank you.
You know, it sounds like a very specific situation with a whole lot of dynamics, so I'm not sure a sort of off-the-cuff response will help much. Except I think that, you know, if people can sit together with maturity and in a knowledgeful yogi state, you can have a sensible discussion, because an emotional discussion often doesn't help. But if we can maybe sort of see the benefits of staying where we are, see the benefits of moving, what the general feeling is, and if necessary, have a neutral person, an objective person with us to help us move in the direction that the group wants. I think Baba's way is that whatever the majority, you know, the master and child feeling. As a child, you offer your opinion, but as a master, you offer your opinion. As a child, you accept what the group wants. That's a very sensible way of moving forward with unity. Go with what the majority wants. Mm. Okay, I think we should finish. So, thank you. And
so, you've gotten a strong injection? You felt the injection? Yeah? Strong? A lot of good points, right? Right is right and wrong is wrong.
Well, Bridge Mohanbhai said so, once, what is say? Right is right and wrong is right. It's a very Bridge Mohan one.
So, quite a lot to churn on, to think about. Brother Charlie has given us good lunch. So can we give him thanks? And it was good to have you. Thank you for so much wisdom.
and hope to have you again. Thank you so much.